Yeah, so I'll hit record so they can hear what I've said. And look, we'll ask questions. I'll switch it off to ask questions in case you hate hearing your voice on recording. Most people do. It's my trick to keep all the questions to a minimum. I know, I'm joking. So that is that. We'll keep it English. We keep it as simple as possible. And to a large extent, I suppose, collections is the kernel from a credit control perspective. All the good stuff we do on risk and all the good stuff we do on managing credit, it all comes down to getting the money at the end of the day. And whether we like it or not, collections is the key role within the whole credit function. And how well we do our job is measured by how quickly we get the money in. All right? So that is what collections is all about. I have explained the three priorities of collections to people. And are you ready for the three priorities of collections? Priority number one is to get paid. That's why you're on the payroll. That's why you're sitting at the desk. Get paid. All right? Priority number one. Keep the customer. Keep the member. Keep the consumer. You see, if we are angry, aggressive, abusive, and we beat the money out of somebody and they pay us and they never do business with us again, that's not a win as far as I'm concerned. So in credit control, we have to be customer focused. So our job is not only to get the money and keep the customer and keep them coming back. That is very much part of the role of credit. And finally, number one in the priority list is to stay sane. Because it can be difficult. And when you're dealing with people, it can be very frustrating. And because people are so different and people are, you have different ways of reacting. And very much staying sane is important. And I suppose part of what I want to do with this course as well is to build your confidence as well, that you know how to approach each situation and how to control it without being controlling. So there's, and how to be forceful without being aggressive, how to push them to the limit without pushing them over the line. It's very difficult. Pal of mine I was with and had the honour to be with again this year in Canada, his name is Tim Paulson. And I was at a seminar he gave, and I thought it was great. He said, credit control is not rocket science. It's much more complicated than that. And you can see where he's coming from. Like, science follows the laws of physics, you know, whereas credit control, because we're dealing with individuals and variables and, you know, to get our head around it. So that is that. So how it works, as I said, the information is divided over a number of modules and a number of units. So the first set of notes you get, I think, will cover, here's the agenda. So these are the chapters. So at the back of, I think it's, so after the green thing, we have your introduction. I've given you some notes about collections because I know you want something to read between now and then. So that's your collections notes. And then on page 9, then we have the modules. So if you'd like to know, we start off with consumer credit. So just to sort of give the role of a collector, what the job of a collector is, what to do, we go into the importance of credit. Because I think sometimes, I think we're guilty of maybe an inferiority complex. What we do is the most important job in the business. We are not. Here's one of the lessons of one of many lessons. Are you ready? You teach people how to treat you. So part of your respect within the organization and the respect that you get is very much determined by the respect you have for yourself. And if you are fully aware of the importance of the role that you're performing here and why it's vital to the overall survival of the business. I think just knowing that, and maybe it takes somebody like me to remind you or to give you the confidence of, look, the money you collect every month is the money that pays the wages, that pays the rent, that pays the light, that pays the heat, that keeps the show on the road. If you didn't do your job, nobody else would have a job. So it's not just me having a moan because things aren't right. I have the responsibility to keep this whole ship afloat here. And that's, you're going to have to take this whole thing seriously if we want to get paid. And I think if you have that confidence as well that you bring to other people, and we learn the communications techniques within the course where I'll be able to communicate with other people to get them to do what I want them to do because they want to. That's the trick. So that's the kind of communications. So in terms of your role, if you have the confidence in yourself and can communicate with others, then we can, the job of collections is easy. People think, oh, credit control, we're fighting with customers, we're fighting with people all day long. 80% of the problems in most organizations are internal. Isn't that true? So, and if we get our internal systems right, then the customers are resolved. So that's that. So we are going to look at the importance of credit as a means to build your confidence. Financial literacy is something I threw in, and this is very much in the consumer trail as well. I think it's important that you understand money, and so many people don't. And even when it comes down to credit cards and, you know, personal credit and loans and PCP. So I think in order to be a credit professional, which is what you're aiming to be, you need to know and understand. So that whole section is about credit cards, term loans. I introduce a concept that I think I made up, because I've never heard anybody else talk about it. the problem with training for 18 years is that people, that what happens is your material comes from two sources. One is the stuff that you robbed from other people, and the other is stuff that you made up yourself. And after 18 years, the lines blur because you forget what you robbed and what you made up. I think matching is something I made up. And it's about how to decide if you're going to borrow for something, how you decide the term of it. And it's also applicable to business as well. And I'll just give you the overview of it. What matching says is that we match the term of the loan to the life of what we're buying. So if you're buying a house and you're in your 20s, if it's a good house, it'll be there in 30 years' time, and so will you. So pay for it over 30 years. Why not? It's a bill. Pay it every month. And the longer you stretch it out, the lower your monthly payments, the better your life is. A car, probably get 5 years out of a car. So pay for it over 5 years. It's a bill. You pay it every week. That's fine. Whereas if you wanted to pay for your house over 5 years, you'd probably starve to death. And if you wanted to pay for your car over 20 years, yes, okay, your payments would be reduced. You know, in 5 years' time, the car claps out. Now you have to get another car, so now you have two loans. And that's how people get into financial difficulties. And so I suppose it's explaining how people do, how much you can do to avoid it. So that's just financial literacy. And control as well. So this is it, just in control of yourself. So I suppose it's back to teaching people how to treat you. How, like, here's a question that probably comes into that section there. Question, are there people out there who can annoy and upset you? Yeah, tentatively agreeing with me. The reality is, they can only do that with your permission. See, if being annoyed is an emotion, and there are people who can annoy and upset you, what you're telling me is that that random person has more control over my emotions than I do. Permission denied. You cannot upset me. And if I make up my mind that I am not going to be upset, whatever you say to me is of absolutely no consequence. Because what you say and how I let that affect me, they're two totally different things. And once we know how to stay in control and separate them, so if you're an angry person and you're full of anger, at no stage am I going to let that anger invade my life. And what I find, particularly on a consumer perspective, the more angry people are, the less money they have. And usually it's a mask of their financial position, where they can shout and roar and scream, and if you put down the phone, they get to keep the money. That's a win for them. If you're afraid ever to ring them again, that's a big win for them. Now, as far as I am concerned, from a collections perspective, it is not my job to get annoyed or upset. It is my job to get the money. And no matter how annoyed you are, look, I'll have to deal. I'll never engage, I will never get involved, I will never get annoyed myself. And so we need strategies to bring them back. So even if he calls me all the name under the sun, that's just a defence mechanism that he's trying on. It works with lesser credit controllers than me, so fair play to him for even trying it. He's come across me now. This is a whole different world. So look, I can hear how annoyed you are. I'm sorry you're annoyed. Joe, there's $2,000 there that has to be paid. Now, how are we going to sort that? Yeah? Bring them back to the money. So this is, so, and if you stay focused, and I'm sure I say it a couple of times here, particularly in the third module, to me, life is all about what we focus on. Would you agree? Everything you get is what you focus on. Do you think so?
It's good though.
But you need this stuff. This is about sanity. The problem is in credit control, and just let me tell you why I take that, and yes, I take your point about a counseling session. In credit control, we tend to focus on the stuff we don't want.
Like,
did you ever ring somebody about an overdue account? Now, if you're focusing on an overdue account, then you will get an overdue account because you get what you focus on. So why would I ring somebody about an overdue account? Are the arrears on their account? I'm ringing for the money. I'm ringing to get paid. I'm ringing for the payment. If I ring them about the overdue account, I'm starting a row. That money's 6 months old, what's going on? Okay, I don't care what's going on. Can I have the money today, please? And if we focus on the overdue account, we will get overdue accounts because you get what you focus on. If I focus on getting paid, I have a far better chance of getting paid. We focus on the wrong things. Think about the last time you sat down with your manager to review the debtors. Does that ever happen? You review your ledger with your manager?
Yeah.
What does your manager look at? Your manager looks at the money you didn't collect.
Yeah. That's money you collected.
No, that's thin. That's easy. So we focus on what we didn't collect. We focus on what we didn't do. And credit managers go to board meetings and do the exact same thing. They present to the board, oh, here's my overdues. This is the money I didn't collect. Here's my provisions. This is the money I don't think we're ever going to get. This is my bad debts. This is the money we're definitely not going to get. Like, come on.
All negative.
And if we want to have a positive view of credit, of the contribution we're making and everything else, we need to start thinking positively. And yes, I take the criticism or the comment about a counselling session. And there is counselling. No, it's right. And there will be stuff in here to go, here. It's so important that we stay positive because it is a negative environment. It can be a conflict environment. There can be rows. We're meeting people at their worst. So when you move into, you're moving from loans into credit. So, you know, at a loan stage, you are seeing me at my best because I am presenting my best possible picture in order for you to give me the money. As soon as I have the money then and I go into vault, you're now seeing the worst of me because I lied through my teeth to get the application. Isn't that true? And when I'm talking to credit unions, I ask the question, what percentage of people do you think lie on application forms?
I think 99.
And I'd even say 100. You know, I wouldn't give that 1% for benefit.
I love the whole,
they all lie.
The CCR, WCCR now is just...
CCR, for those of you who are not in, is called the Consumer Credit Register.
All the stuff is popping up on it.
It's brilliant. And just as financial literacy as well, to make you aware of that, you should be aware of that if you're working credit. There is now, since June of last year, a Consumer Credit Register that has every single person in the country, including you, on that register. Every bank account, every credit card, every loan, and even you think, well, I don't have a loan. If you're paying your insurance over 12 months, you have a loan.
Wow.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's a loan.
So like the passports and stuff like that, they're all loans, they're all...
They're all loans.
How are the accidents?
Because clothes have to give. They have to give. Every month. Every credit transaction you have. And if on your credit card, if you make a payment, no, ESB aren't yet. They are talking about it.
They're saying the next 12 months that your household bills will go on.
Will go on to it. But now it's only financial institutions. And they should. So it is going to expand. So it's a consumer credit register of what everybody owes and what everybody pays. And for your credit card, they have a tick that you paid this month, you paid this month, you paid this month. You didn't pay that month, there's an X. So if you missed one payment, and that record is there for 6 years. So if you're going for a loan, you will sign a waiver that giving them permission to access your CCR records, and they will see your whole credit history for the last 6 years. So, and a lot of consumers aren't even aware that happens. No, it's everything. Even Provident, who are money lenders.
Leinster Finance.
Leinster Finance.
I've never knew of them. Then they're saying, "Well, that's a problem." They're like, "No," and I'm like, "You have something else. Who is it?" And then they're, "What's Leinster?"
And Leinster is a guy who turns up at the door.
No,
Leinster are different.
Very different.
Leinster, and even Leinster, brought the guy rise up, store 500 quid in his back pocket. Good. You want a loan? Yeah, why not much? 700 quid.
What? So even he has to declare if he's...
If it's over 500 quid. Yeah. So, and the regulator has them all out. So these are things that we need to be aware of in terms of accessing. So if I am a consumer coming to you looking for credit, while you can't access my consumer credit register details, I can. So you might make it a condition of the credit that I bring in a copy of my report. It's better to say no, isn't it? Because we're not people who like to say no. Anyway, that's the kind of thing in financial literacy. Get it? Good. So now, credit in business. So the first bit is it's consumer. And again, to even though it's consumer and business, a lot of it is generic. Customers, hugely important. Understanding terms and limits, a lot of people don't, and a lot of customers, believe it or not, don't know when they should pay, and we never tell them. Credit unions are guilty of that as well. I know somebody who took a loan, when you're supposed to, I don't know.
Yeah, they don't, like, they think, again, I know I'm 10 years now working in credit unions, and when we first joined, it was like, oh, once you pay once a week, or within that month, you're grand. System, yeah. But now, like, the way you have to, so if you collect your loan on Thursday, you have to pay the following Thursday. If you collect your loan on the 19th, you have to pay on the 19th or any fortnight from that day.
Are you getting reports to the Consumer Credit Register for being late?
And you're like, I'm literally certain out of my, this is when you pay.
Yeah,
so, like, make sure you pay this day.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realise that. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So credit terms and credit limits as well, so we just need to understand that. And then dealing with sales, so other departments, this is where 80% of our problems come elsewhere. And I love this session. This is how we communicate with them to get them to do what we want them to do because they want to do it. So it's not about me telling them what to do because they just ignore me. Whereas if I can show them, maybe manipulate, I'll go along with that. Threaten won't work unless, you know, I just find getting people to do it willingly is better. And so I am never the threat. I am never, you know, I will do this if you don't do that. And even when I was group credit manager of some large organisations, I always had a boss who was kicking a hole in my desk. You know, and I would advise you to do the same. It's never, even if it is your decision, look, I have to go to the boss with this. What am I going to tell
him? I love the third party person that never
third
exists.
Third party person that never exists.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we had, who was our guy? It was Richard. Yeah. Richard. Richard was a made up person that we made up. And so look, if this isn't paid on Friday now, it's going, Richard's going to take this over. And
we just don't want that.
Yeah.
They don't know who them is, we're like, we're setting up to them. They have been contracted.
So, and that, so that may be threatening. Anyway, look, I'm not going to give it away. How to deal with sales other departments is vital if you're going to succeed. Then we get into the fun bits. Verbal communications. So this is how we communicate better. And we're going to focus on words, on questions, on, you know, just getting our communications absolutely right. Like I said before, instead of focusing on overdue accounts, we're focusing on the payment. The other two questions, I'll give you this, a sneak preview of the notes. And I've heard this asked, where somebody hasn't paid an account and the credit controller asks them, are you ready? They ask them, why haven't you paid? Like, what a stupid question. Like, you are now asking them to give you an excuse and justify the fact that you haven't paid the account. Like, why would you do that? That is the most ridiculous thing in the world. So asking questions like that, and then you wonder why you're not getting the results. That's why you're not getting the results. You're asking them for an excuse. They will give you an excuse. I've heard people say, just check and see if there's any queries. Queries? Well, let me see if I can find one for you. You know? And if I can't, sure, send me on a copy of the invoice. That'll delay it another month.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one. Send it four times.
Yeah. Sure, can I just make sure I have the right email address here? Because it's mad. It's going. You see, calling people liars, even though you know they're liars, isn't a good career
and they
move
know
either.
They're lying.
And you, yeah. So, of course, and they know you know they're lying and all that. So, look, one of the things we want to accept, everybody lies. Age of three, that's the magic age. Two-year-olds cannot lie. Three-year-olds can lie. And they will, in the room on their own, the vase smashes all over the floor, and you walk in and your three-year-old is there with a broken vase on the floor. Who broke the vase? I don't know. Did you? No. It fell. Did you knock that over? No. Three. Brilliant. It's a sign of intelligence, how we can lie to protect ourselves. And then we carry it with us all our lives. So everybody lies about 200 times a day, by the way.
My 12-year-old is great, that's all.
Yeah. So your 12-year-old is very intelligent. So if they know how to lie to protect themselves, they are very
I asked him after you brush your teeth. Yeah, I've seen him put the toothpaste in his mouth, yeah. Swish it around, spit it out and come out and go, smell, it's mint. Mm. I said, I just watched you. You didn't brush your teeth.
Well, but the techniques you learn here will work for your 12-year-old.
Thanks.
Okay? So if you can convince boy or girl...
Boy.
Boy, yeah. I think girls probably be more careful about their teeth. So that's that. So just present the alternative and say, well, look, that's right. If you don't want to, fine. Now, if you want to go through life in pain and whatever, it's up to you.
Well, we made an appointment with the dentist now, so that you can tell the dentist.
Yeah. So that's great. 12 is great because you're asserting yourself. It's great. So words and questions. Oh, by the way, just to give you the heads up to use until you get a set of the notes. The question you now use instead of why is how. So how are you going to pay this? So how are you going to clear it? So how are you going to work this out? When is, yeah, I like when as well, because when is future focused and how is future focused. So when, if it's a, yeah, when, and not only when can you look after this, it's when will the money be in our account? Like, I don't want all the variables. So when will that money, I love that, yeah, that is future focused. If they're having a problem, and look, I don't have any money, but then asking them when, is not going to get me anywhere. When, if it's a fail complete, look, you owe the 20 quid, When will that be in? And never, yeah, need a date to write in the diary, a follow-up date. And if you think they're a bit wishy-washy, and you're not sure whether they're going to deliver it, that's when this mystical third party comes in. That's Super Mary. So tell me, can I tell my boss now that'll be here on Friday? Can I tell my boss that'll be here on Friday? You would be a rip now if you had no intention of doing it, because you're hanging me out to dry. And it also gives me a reason to ring you back on Friday saying, look, what's, like, you promised, you told me, like, I was waiting, it's Friday, I'll just check the bank. Guilt works. All right, so that is that. So now, verbal communications. So words are the raw material. So we look at good words, good questions, bad questions. And in there, and I want you to look out for it when you get that set of notes, is I will be giving you the worst word in the world ever. There's a whole, and I hope this stays with you for the rest of your life. And your children will thank me. All right, I'm not going to say anymore. I'm not going to.
You're not going to tell us.
No.
Guessing that.
Will I tell you? Are you ready? The worst word ever. Don't. Don't sit over there. Don't have your hands in your pockets. Don't wash your teeth. Don't slam the door. Don't jump off the table. Do you use that word?
A lot.
A lot. Back to the session then. Do you remember I told you, and you agreed, that you get what you focus on? And it's true. So if you get what you focus on, and all these positive thinking guru guys will tell you, oh, positive thinking, think and it'll grow rich and all that nonsense. Right? So that's right. What they don't tell you is that you get what you focus on 100% of the time. Yeah. It's okay in that context, I think. I'll let myself away with that. Here's the thing, though. If you say to somebody, don't do that, you are now focusing on what you don't want. So if the three-year-old is standing on the corner table and you say, don't jump off the table, what happens next? Of course, the kids are so disobedient. No, kids follow the instructions. We were focusing, and when you say the word don't, that's an indication for the rest of the sentence now, I am now focusing on something I don't want. And what the positive thinking guys omit is you get what you focus on 100% of the time. So if I'm focusing on what I don't want, then I'll get what I don't want. Don't is dangerous. And that's why in credit, we spend most of our time focusing on negatives. We need to turn them around to positives. So now the two-year-old is standing on the table. What do I say? Oh, I'll give you guys. So stand there till I catch you. Don't slam the door. What do I want? Close the door quietly. And by turning our questions around from the negative to the positive, you'd be amazed at how the results change. The results change completely because our focus is, and maybe you are focusing on the not washing of the teeth. Maybe if you focused on having clean teeth. You understand?
Yeah.
So, and when you change your focus, everything changes.
Yeah.
And look, of course, I said don't. I didn't say it in a bad context. And we'll go through some examples of that with you as well. And to make, are you going to say it? Of course you are. As long as you cop on.
And will you give an example of, you know how you say it's the negative? So I have a meeting every month with my director. So we take the debtor days of 90 plus. And I have to be negative, you know, this is what's due in. I didn't get, you know, how do I turn that into a positive without sounding negative? How do I present figures that are not?
To be honest with you now, I'm getting into a different module than collections. Still, we're here to help, and I told you that. What I always did was, on my reporting, Because I got to do the monthly report, so it's my game, my rules. And the two figures that I always included in my report, number one is amount of cash collected, to show you, look, I got 42 million or 42,000 or depending on size of ledger, so amount of cash collected. And here is the thing, the percentage of the ledger within terms.
Okay, that's good.
Within terms. And I just think that's so much better than DSOs, because DSOs can expand if reps agree extended terms. And there's a subplot there that says, on DSOs, low is good and high is bad. Whereas they can do a deal with Sainsbury's for a 90-day credit. My DSOs go out the window and I look like an idiot.
Yeah.
So on my new way of doing it, focusing on what we want instead of what we don't want, percentage within terms, if they agree 90-day terms, then that account is within terms for the 90 days. So now, and if I have 97% within terms and 3% beyond terms, and also there's an important thing as well, that when I am focusing on what I want and things get better, my graphs go up. And managers like to see graphs going up. When I'm focusing on what I don't want, then, and things are getting better, graphs are going down. And managers get nervous when they see graphs going down. But think about it. So imagine a graph here, right? And over time, I'm graphing my DSOs. If I'm doing a good job, it's going down. If I'm mapping my provisions, if I'm doing a good job, it's going down. If I'm doing my bad debts, if I'm doing a good job, it's going down. If I'm doing my DSOs and I'm doing a good job, it's going down. Because that's what I don't want. Yeah. And then of the percentage of the ledger that is beyond terms, to me, there are two categories within that. One is down to credit control, either from a collections perspective, we've payment plans, we can't get them, we're having difficulty, that's a credit control problem. And then the other is where it's an internal business problem, where they're waiting for credit notes, there's no decision made on a deal, they have queries, they have disputes, they have whatever. And as far as I'm concerned, you're the credit director, you're on bigger salary than I am, that's up to you to sort out. Now look, that money will come in as soon as that contract is sorted out. Where are we? We've had the same conversation now 3 months.
So it'd be better to split, say, those customers and say, this lot.
I'll deal with them.
And this is an internal issue within.
And you're the director.
Yeah, yeah.
And unless you want to have the same conversation over and over again, yeah.
That's a good idea, yeah.
We want to have the same conversation over and over again, can you go and kick a hole in his desk? Get him off the... Because not only... Are you annoyed that the money's outstanding? I'm annoyed that I have a query. The customer's annoyed because he's not being taken seriously and his issues aren't being dealt with. Yeah? And if your director is financial, you know what's worse? That money is sitting in our sales, so our salespeople got commission on it while it's unresolved. That money is sitting in our accounts that we think we have, which we haven't, and that money is sitting in our profit that isn't profit because they're never going to pay it. Now, if you take your accounting seriously, your customer seriously, and the credibility of the organisation, we need to get that sorted now.
I like that. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah, it's just to take something negative and make it...
And it's not...
Yeah.
No, what we're doing, and this is central to what we're going to learn in collections and verbal communications and letter, it's about the other person, it's not about me. I think I talk about trim tab or somewhere. Anyways, that's what I feel. Do you get it? So, and going into a meeting with the director, you need... There's a question that appears in the good words and questions and right words and verbal communications. And please today write this down. I was going to let you read it. I want you to write it down. It's too good. Here is the question. The question begins with the word so. So what do I want? That should be your guiding question for the rest of your lives. And when you go into that meeting with a director, so what do I want from this meeting? When you pick up a phone to a customer, so what do I want from this call? I'm going into this with my plan, my agenda, my outcome. If I go in half-cocked, I'm going to spend half my life helping them sort their problems out. If I can do it well and good, of course I have problems of my own. Yeah? And that's where the question comes from with the 3-year-old standing on the corner of the table. Rather than saying, don't jump off the table, so what do I want? And if we can now change our minds to focus on what we want, you're going to see a huge difference.
In area.
Question. Here's the question as anyone else do. Does anybody ever worry? Of course, that's a stupid question because everybody worries. Yeah? When you're worrying, are you thinking about things you want or things you don't want? When you're worrying. Why would you do that? Why would you give your energy, attention and focus to something you don't want? That might never happen. So if you catch yourself worrying, back to your note, so what do I want? And now we change our view of the world. Now we start focusing on outcomes that we want, and then things start to happen. You understand? Whereas if you're going, oh God, this could happen, that could happen, that could happen, that could happen. The more you think about them, the more likely they are to happen. So what do I want? Oh, it's all very well for you, but you know, I've been very sick. Yeah, but if you focus on sickness, you'll get sick. Focus on being well. Focus on wellness. And most people don't know this. You know, the Americans have a war on drugs. What's that focusing on? We know we have a campaign called Drink Aware here. What's that focusing on? Of course, and it's financed by the drinks companies. Because now Drink Aware sounds as if it's not. It's focusing on drinks. It's all about drinking. Yeah? So we get it wrong over and over and over again. We focus on... there was a great story about Mother Teresa when she was in New York. She was invited to an anti-war rally. And they said, you know, will you come with us? And she said, no. No, if you're having a peace rally, I'll go. Because an anti-war rally, you're focusing on war. So there are people out there who know and understand this. So we have to be very, very careful, because from the time we wake up in the morning and switch on Morning Ireland, we're being bombarded with negativity. From the time we walk into the office, we're being bombarded with negativity. So being human is hard to get over that. The fact is, because we control our own minds and our own thoughts and our own reactions, that's up to you. And now if we make a conscious effort only to focus on what we want, ah lads, life is great. And you get to choose. Alright? That's a bonus. Communications, because that's what it's all about. It's all about communications. Communicating with yourself, communicating with others. Letter writing. Now, I know that's kind of a long lost art. If we are writing letters to people, let's write good ones. This is the how-to, the 21st century. Not, dear sir, I am writing to you. I can imagine some
credit
of
management
the...
Kind of
what?
Credit management. You could take stuff from what you learned in credit management and apply it here as well.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, this is probably get down more into the detail of it. So letter writing, emails and texts, because that's where the world is going now. Face-to-face meetings. So if I'm meeting somebody face-to-face, even down to how you set up the room, because you'll be meeting individuals as well. So how we set up the room, how we set the atmosphere and the tone and the outcomes. So we need that. Door-to-door visits. So many credit controllers, I don't know whether they're soft or nice. Knocking on a door is a great way to get paid. I've done this in large companies. I remember I went into one company who were at it, and they owed us about 20,000, and I was a bit concerned about them. And I just arrived in one day. I said hi, and the receptionist was there. It was a big company. I said hi, it's Declan here. She said, "Who are you looking for?" I said, "Well, Joe, the financial controller's around. That'd be great." I said, "I'm here to collect a check, because it's in the old days when there was checks." Still is, I suppose, to a large extent. Yeah, I'm here to collect a cheque. She said, oh, well, I don't think Joe was there. She knew well. He said, rang 5 times before I got there. So obviously she rang and he told her he wasn't. So that was fine. So she said, no, he's not here. And I said, oh, that's fine, I'll wait. And I didn't move. She said, well, he's at a meeting. I said, fine. I said, I'll wait. She said, well, it could be an hour. I said, no, it's fine, I'll wait. I said, well, like, what if... I said, no, fine. I said, said, well, and if it's an hour, I said, if it's all day, I said, I'm not going back without it. She looks, I can't go back, I'm not going back without it. End up. So I wait. And I didn't offer to sit down or to, I stood at the desk. I said, no, I'll wait, I'll grant it. 5 minutes later, your man was down. Ah, of course he was, liar. Yeah, and if he wasn't, she would have got somebody else. Like, of course she would. There was some, oh, wasn't it? I think they saw the determination. No, I'm not, I went straight to the bank too. Didn't go back to the office. I think that all worked. So sometimes, you know, just being there, that's great crack. You know, great crack, I love it. And you get mileage allowance and you're out of the office. Beats your expenses. That's door to door. Excuses, is that the just the frustrating part of life? Excuse after excuse after excuse. So we're going to have a look at that as well. How to deal with excuses. Module 5, this is where it goes a bit off the rails, and I'm sorry. I get into personality profiling, and there'll be exercises. Now, this is just for your own amusement, is to you know, personality. If you've done personality profiling or the Myers-Briggs or any of those kinds of testings, there's a few of them in it as well. And I just find if you understand yourself and your own operating system, it's easier then to make allowances and to communicate with other people. So there's some mad stuff in there as well. So we look at personality types and processing styles as well. How people process information. Loads of different ways of doing it. It's a great crack once you know it. It really is. I don't know whether you've done that.
Which myopics you would be?
What?
Which myopics you would see yourself
in? Well, on Myers-Briggs. Oh God, I can't remember the letters. Well, certainly the first letter is an E anyway, you'd know that. Okay. E is extrovertive rather than I is introvertive. So it kind of goes through those kinds of, and everybody has their own processing style. I can't remember what the four letters are. And I know I've done it 5 times.
Did you
and
recognize
I know it's
yourself?
100%.
Yeah.
And there'll be an exercise in it where you recognize yourself.
There's probably people that jokes.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And there's other people who want to be something different that they're not. So, but look, once you understand your personality type and you understand how personality types work, then you can say, but sure, he's an I. Like, what else would you expect? That's how they go on. And you can just make allowances. The processing style, I don't know, have you ever looked at NLP as a science? You heard of NLP? No? NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. This is like communications on steroids. It's brilliant. So it's how to communicate with people by just picking up stuff from them.
Their tics.
Yeah, we have involuntary, our eye movements are involuntary. There's loads of involuntary things that we do. And even how we talk. So some people process the world visually through their eyes. Some people process the world auditory through their ears. Some people, it's kinesthetic, it's true feeling. And other people, it's sort of digital, they're black and white. You know, they're... And each of us has a preferred processing style. And once we know what a person's preferred processing style is, and we start using it, lads, it's great. And you see, different people will say things differently. So you say, well, how would I know what a person's processing style is? Listen to them. If they say, I'll see you later. If they say, I look forward to hearing from you. They're giving you clues all the time, and we're missing them. Because we think it's the same thing. Yeah? So people give us clues. And if you talk auditory to a visual, it's like talking a foreign language. They have no idea what you're talking about. And we have some role plays and exercises in that as well. So how we communicate to find out what style they are, and then we copy their style. So there's no rocket science here, you just copy. So if you're visual, for the time I'm talking to you, I'll be visual. So I'll be talking about see you later and all the rest. If you're kinesthetic, I would ask you, you know, so what do you feel about that? If you're digital, how, what you think about that? If you're visual, how's that look to you? You see, but they're the same questions. No, they're not. They sound to the untrained minds. It's the same, but it's not the same. It's totally different. And a visual person will respond to, how's that look to you? Because they can see it. Whereas if I say to a visual person, you know, how does that sound to you? Huh? They have no idea what I'm talking about. Get it? Mm. Ah, it's great fun. So that's your personality types and processing style. Change in circumstances, that's about people. The three reasons: people who can't pay because they've no money, people who won't pay because they want to hang on to it for as long as they can, and people who shouldn't pay because you've got it wrong. So when we get a call, rather than just taking all excuses, we're going to break it down into one of the three categories. So are they can't pay, won't pay, shouldn't pay. If they can't pay, then we have to learn how to negotiate, and negotiating skills are in there, and I have some great ways to negotiate. I just think unbeatable strategy for negotiating. If they won't pay, I need to find what their trigger is, what's the one thing that will make them pay, and make them pay. Like, so many times we send out letters and, oh, if you don't pay, we'll sue you. But look, if I have 15 judgments registered against me, I don't care if you sue me. You know? If I'm a credit union member and I'm 22 years of age, like, even at that age, my mother would kill me if she found out. So I have a motivator as brave and brutal. So once you find that motivator, and then you have my permission to use that bad word in this context, I don't want to tell your mother. What does he hear? Yeah? Gotcha. Brat. And she's a guarantor, I will tell her. Is that alright? Now, so now we get into sort of the logistics. So in terms of a call, to us, we made a call, it started, it ended, that was that. I'm going to give you a defined, this is the start, this is the middle, this is the end, and the call doesn't end until we do this. Are you with me? I'm going to explain emotion, logic and power, particularly for consumers and individuals. The first response we often get is emotional. If we bring logic to emotion, again, we're talking two different languages. Yeah? So I need to deal with the emotion before I can introduce logic, and then be very careful before I introduce power. So if I start off saying, I'll put you on stop, that will go haywire. So we need to know the order. So, and then before, during and after the call, so your preparation, your delivery, and your follow-up, because that is that. So, you know, we sort of analyse calls and hopefully help you do them better. I cover a few just from a collections perspective. As you can see, it's just a small part of one small module. Data protection, because you need to know that from a collections perspective. Consumer credit legislation, not ringing them after 9 o'clock at night and all that sort of nonsense. Corporate insolvency, we don't go into it like in credit management or in risk or whatever, but that's that. Collections through the court, just an overview of the different, the district court, the high court, the circuit court. It's kind of a bit crossover in law, but not really. Regulations, MABs, you probably have dealings with MABs, and if you don't, you will. And I won't say anything else. And then the final module is back to managing yourself. So dealing with stress, because it can be stressful. We need strategies to deal with it. Staying in control, managing priorities, because that really, once we can manage our priorities, everything else falls into place. It's when you're doing something and you should be doing something else that you crack up, so we want to get you above that as well. Return checks and direct debit, so that's bouncers, we all have to deal with them, have a strategy for that. And then finally, if all the good stuff that I'm telling you doesn't work, are there third party agencies, legal firms, at what stage do we outsource or not? You know, because sometimes we just need to write it off. Throwing good money after bad money is a waste of time. So it's making the call to say, yes, we will, no, we won't. Sound interesting? Now, look, the one thing that I'll forewarn you as well, I'm a minute late. On the personality types, I got a bit carried away with that stuff. So just take it with a grain of salt. And I know you're reading this with one view to an exam. There will never be a detailed question on personality types in the exam. That section is just designed out of curiosity for your own information. Like, I will never say what is an ENJP or, you know, that's not an examination subject as such. And I don't want that to deter your enjoyment of it. Is that all right? So that's that. So you have law notes on Monday. So Paul has your email addresses, so you get that. And then you have to wait a whole week for your first module in collections. And as I said, while the notes, there's more pages, I hope the words will jump off the page, and it's more conversational than factual. Go, it's been a pleasure meeting you all. I'll close this now.